शृणु कर्माद् अद्भुतं नृपे क्रीणा नर शरीरस्य यथा स्वभर सौ स्वपतिर्हते शुकरवाच कृष्णस्य क्रीडानरशरीरस्य यथा सौभपतिर्हता शिशुकवाच अनाथदपि कृष्णस्य शृणु कर्माद्भुतं नृपे क्रीडानरशरीरस्य यथा सौभपतिर्हता अथानदपि कृष्णस्य शृणु कर्माद्भुतं नृपे शरीरस्य यथा सौभपतिर्हते मतजी श्रीवाच आदरपि कृष्णस्य शृणु कर्माद्भुतं नृपे शरीरस्य यथा सौभपतिर्हता word by word meaning and translation by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shukha Uvache. Sukhdev Goswami said, Atha, now, Anyat, another, Api, yet, Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna, Shanu, please hear, Karma, deed, Adbhutam, wonderful, Nripe, O king, Krila, for playing, Nar, human-like, Sharirasya, whose body, Yatha, how, Swabhya Pati, the Lord of Swabhya. Swabhya was an aeroplane. His master, Matlab, Shalv, Hata, killed. Translation. Sukhdev Goswami said, now please hear, O King, another wonderful, wondrous deed performed by Lord Krishna, who appeared in his human-like body to enjoy transcendental pastimes. Hear how he killed the master of Swabhya. So there is no translation. We have to read up to five continuous shlokas. We are reading the translation only. Shalva was a friend of Shishupal's. When he attended the wedding of Rukmani, the Yudhi warriors defeated him in battle, along with Jarasandh and other kings. Shalva was sore in the presence of all kings. I will rid the earth of Yadavs. Just see my prowess. Having thus made his vow, the foolish king proceeded to worship Lord Pashupati, Lord Shiva, as his deity by eating a handful of dust each day and nothing more. The great Lord Umapati is known as who is quickly pleased, yet only at the end of the year did he gratify Salva, who had approached him for shelter by offering him a choice of benedictions, purport. Salva worshipped Lord Shiva, who is famous as Asutosh, one who is quickly satisfied. And yet, Lord Shiv did not come to Shalv for an entire year because, being Bhagwan, a great all-knowledge personality, he understood that any benediction given to Lord Krishna's enemy would be fruitless. Still, as stated by the verse, Sharangam Agatam, Shalva had come to Lord Shiva for shelter, and thus to maintain the standard principle that a worshipper receives a benediction, Lord Shiva offered one to Shalva. Om Ajnanti Murandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militen Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sparthitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaya Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhavitam Se He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Baneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevcha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I welcome all of you for this Bhagavatam class. And I would seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas present to empower me to speak something. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 76th chapter, Shlok 1 to 5. The story, the title of the chapter is The Battle Between Sharva and the Vrishnis. Actually, it spills into two chapters. The next chapter is how Krishna kills Sharva. So, the seed of this story was sown during the proposed marriage of Rukmani with Shishupal, which actually resulted in the inner kidnapping by Krishna. So it is a long story, but we will focus only on those points which are relevant to this subject matter. So Bhishma was the king of Vidarbha, and its capital was Kundalina. So he had five sons and one beautiful daughter, Rukmani, who was actually embodiment of all divine qualities. So all the family members wanted her, agreed that she should marry to Krishna. But there was one exception. The eldest son, Rukmi, who was very envious towards Krishna. So he forbade them, and he actually arranged her marriage to his friend, dear friend Shishupal, who was embodiment of envy towards Krishna from the childhood, and his determined enemy actually. He considered him, Krishna, as the enemy from the very childhood. So here we find the mentality of materialistic person. Actually, we have to distinguish between the mentality of what is the mentality of a materialistic person and the spiritual mentality. The materialistic person actually use people to get things and to achieve their objectives. But in spiritual consciousness, one uses things to serve people. Serve the Lord, serve his devotees, serve the living entities. So here we find that Rukmi is displaying the worst type of material consciousness. Actually, he is in to further his wicked designs, personal agenda or selfish motives, to have a strong foothold among the demonic type of kings, and to have extend his area of influence, he wanted to give Rukmani to Shishupal so that there is a strong bondage between them. So he used Rukmani. He knew that she wants to marry Krishna, but forcibly he wants to marry her to Shishupal. She is using her as a tool, as a commodity, to serve his own purpose. This is the demonic mentality. So here from the beginning we see how this Rukmi is showing the mentality. Now we come to the second scene. Preparations are there for the marriage of Rukmani, and Shishupal, he was actually fearing, anticipated that something wrong is going to happen during the marriage. Krishna is doing something, will definitely do something. So he came with all his armies, and not only came, he invited all his demonic kings so that all will join in that particular marriage ceremony and also protect him. The purpose was that. So he invited Jarasandh, Shalva, and Dantvakra, Vidurat, Pandurak, and many other kings who were actually all had maintained animosity to Krishna. So that actually, aisa hamare yahan bolte hain, ek hi theli ke chatte batte ikhatte ho gaye the wahan par, ek chandal chokli ban gayi thi. Those who were of demonic mentality, of degraded mentality, all have joined there. So now they were planning, because how they can join together so that if Krishna does anything, their joint effort, united effort, will actually defeat him. So all these kings have come there with their armies. So it was marriage anniversary, marriage ceremony, but it was like a cantonment. Kings with their armies spread all over. So so now we come to the third scene. It is, preparations are there, they are ready to counteract anything which Krishna does. And now comes the third scene. As is customary, Rukmani Devi came to the temple of Ambika or Durga Devi to offer prayers. And what she offered, what she prayed, that I should get Krishna as my husband. So when she came out of the temple and she was moving in the motion of a swan, jaise hansni ki chaal hoti hai, and seeing her beauty, external beauty, and so all those kings who were there, they were actually encircling the area. When they saw her beauty, the lust in their heart, it tore their heart, lust. They were intoxicated, they were bewildered, actually they were hypnotized by her beauty. And all their arms fell down, they all fell down from their respective horses, elephants, chariots, and they lay on the floor as if paralyzed, half conscious, semi-conscious state. At the time when she was coming, Rukmani saw Krishna and she was pleased that she's there, and Krishna immediately brought his chariot there, seized her hand, lifted her, put her on the chariot, and slowly left there. In front of those, all the warriors were there. And very beautiful example is given that it is like a lion carrying his prey from amongst the jackals. So he slowly carried and exited the area. So it was a great humiliation. And when it happened, then Jarasandh actually bellowed, garajne laga. He told that it is a great shame for us. Actually, we have to be condemned because we are all mighty warriors and a coward has taken our honor. He is referring Krishna as coward now. This is a inflated false ego. 17 times he was humiliated by Krishna in war, and 18 times actually Krishna avoided the war and he went. But he thought that I am so powerful that Krishna in my fear has left. So now after being defeated 7 times, this is how inflated ego covers one from reality. He thinks now that I am more powerful than Krishna because he has run away from the battle. So this is the mentality of demonic people. So then they rushed, hastily rushed towards Krishna, and they were intervened by Balram and Yadu warriors. So there a fierce battle ensued, and actually Yadus inflicted great great loss to them. Number of heads rolled down on the ground, and seeing this particular terrible carnage of their army by Jarasandh, because he was heading the army of all the demonic kings, so he felt it is better that we withdraw from them, because he did not want to. Actually, it was a proxy war in one sense, because Jarasandh, who was most affected, did not take part in this to retrieve his would-be wife. He was simply lamenting, and these are fighting on his behalf. So he thought that it is better that we withdraw. And then he went to Shishupal to console him. They were all humiliated, they were defeated badly, they had to withdraw. Their combined strength could not do anything before the Yadu army. So he came and started consoling him. That these happiness and distress are not permanent, actually they are all temporary. And see my example. I fought 18 wars, battles with Krishna. I lost 17 and ultimately I won. So I never lamented, I never rejoiced. So actually time is not auspicious for us now. Therefore time is in their favor, fate is in their favor today, but sometime there will be auspicious time, then we will win. Like this he was actually trying to console him. Now he is blaming fate and time for the defeat. So we generally find that demonic people, when they are successful, they take all the credit for themselves. But when they are defeated or unsuccessful, they blame it on fate. The time is not proper, it is our fate that we are going to lose, we have to be unsuccessful. And we find a similar example few months, maybe couple of months ago, when we were discussing about a Akrur was sent by Krishna to Hastinapur to see how Pandavas are treated there by Dhrashtrashtra. He stayed there for 4-5 months, and he saw that how they were treated very partially. He heard that they were poisoned, Bhima was poisoned, and always there is plans against them. So he, while leaving, he went to Dhrashtrashtra and told him that I see that it is the duty of the king to treat everybody equally, but I see that you are very partial to your sons. And he replied that yes, my prejudice is towards my son. I have to favor them and I cannot leave it. And then what he told, that actually nothing happens without the will of Krishna. Not a blade of grass happens, move without the will of Krishna. So what is happening actually is Krishna's will. I cannot do anything. I am helpless. While we all know that it is our choice from moment to moment what we want to do. So demonic people try to take shelter of the scriptures by twisting those meanings. It is true that everything happens according to the will of Krishna. Nothing blade of grass. But everybody has a choice at every moment what to do, what not to do. And he has accordingly is responsible for his karmas. He cannot say that it is Krishna's wish. So he is trying to take shelter to explain his this demonic behavior. So we find that after this defeat, humiliating defeat, every Jarasandha and his party, everybody has taken the humiliation in their stride. But there was one person who was so enraged, who could not tolerate this humility. He was totally, actually here it is said that Shalva was defeated. He felt that I am defeated because I could not protect my friend's wife from getting him. So he felt that he is responsible for that. Everybody was actually perfect that they have lost. Nothing is there. They did not take it to the heart. Try to, just like Jarasandha, they try to console themselves also, not only Shishupal. But here is one person who was totally enraged, totally actually burning with fire from anger. So when anger overtakes one mind, then he loses all intelligence. And losing all intelligence means that he made a very foolish vow. Therefore here it is said that foolish king made this vow. He has seen before himself that their combined strength of Jarasandha and all these demonic kings were no match to Yadus. They were defeated badly. They had to run. They had to leave the battlefield. But still, he makes a vow. What is the vow? We have just read that I will rid the earth of the Yadavas. Just see my prowess. Everybody has seen his prowess now, but he is saying that I just see my prowess. So, this is the vow which he is trying to fulfill. Now we find that when this war has taken place, actually he invaded Dwarka. The time lag between kidnapping of Rukmani and his invasion of Dwarka was at least approximately 25 years. Because Krishna was not present at the time when he invaded Dwarka. Krishna was in the Rasu Yag. Shishupal was already killed. And he found a proper opportunity to actually invade. And who fought on behalf of Yadus? Pradumana. And Pradumana was son of Krishna and Rukmani. So he is grown up enough to fight. So at least 25 years have elapsed. According to this, I try to... at least 25 years must be the gap. He vowed 25 years back and now he is trying to fulfill it. So when he naturally he knew that I have no prowess my of own, then what they do, what demonic people, what is the mentality of demonic people? Sura and Dusra Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that Sura means those who are obedient to Krishna. They follow their rules and regulations. But Asura, they don't follow the regulations. They made their own regulations. They made their own things. What I say is the law. It should be followed. I am reminded of a picture by Amitabh Bachchan, I think it was Diwar or something. He said, "Jahan main khada hota hu, wahin se line shuru hoti hai." Similarly, demons, he was also a lawn actually in that picture. Similarly, the demons say, "What I say is, this is the law. We don't believe in God." Actually, we they say, there is no God in control. I will become God myself. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also says that the quality of these demonic people is they are arrogant, they have pride, they have anger, conceit, harshness and ignorance. All these things are there present in the demonic people. So when the demonic people find themselves that they are unable to do something, so they take shelter of some powerful demigod. We have seen in the history of all many things. And what they do? They perform austerities which are not sanctioned by the Shastra. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, mentions that demonic persons are those who manufacture their own mode of austerities and penances which do not find place in the scriptures. So we find that these people are doing those austerities. Here as it is mentioned that he was taking handful of ashes only for 1 year. This is not prescribed. So there are many demonic kings who have actually performed austerities, and we discuss few of them. Firstly, Ravan, we will see. He actually performed sacrifice for 10,000 years, and after that he offered his 10 heads to Lord Brahma. What benediction he wanted? He wanted benediction becoming immune from death, from all species of living entities except human being. This was his motive to do sacrifices. Now what type of sacrifices? Offering his 10 heads to. And then we see Hiranyakashipu being enraged by the death of his brother. He vowed that I will cut the head of Vishnu. And for this purpose, he went to mountain Mandara. And what type of austerity he performed, we all know. He stood motionless on one of the legs, on the tiptoe, extending his hands towards the sky and putting eyes on the sky and extending his hands upwards for 100 celestial years. So these sacrifices are not mentioned. So these sacrifices they make so that they can get supernatural powers. They can become immune from death. And what he wanted? His body became a skeleton, as we all know. It was an ant hill. Only a skeleton remained and life here remained. So what he wanted? He wanted to become immortal and sole ruler of the world. Because after killing Vishnu, he wants to become sole ruler of the world. This is the demonic mentality. They want to have superpowers and so they want to rule the world. They want everything. Immortal they want to become. And what five... when he was said that Brahmaji, that I cannot give you this boom because I have to die, then we will not go to detail. He wanted five booms so that he became, thought that he became immune. And Krishna warned Brahmaji that you are giving benedictions without thinking, and it becomes very difficult for me to fulfill all this. So you should be more cautious in giving benedictions. So. Because Krishna has to honor, they are their authorized representative. What they say, Krishna has to honor them. And then we see the example of Bhasmasura, or which is also known as Arikasura. He offered his flesh of his body to Lord Shiva. And when he actually offered flesh from all the body and Krishna and Shiva Lord did not appear, he wanted to cut his head and Krishna appeared at that, Lord Shiva appeared at that time. And what he wanted from him? That whomsoever I put my head on his head, that it will break into thousands of pieces. So he wants to become. So all these people, demonic people, perform austerities which are actually not pleasing to demigods. Nectar stream, Maharaj's book, question answer has come in one of the, he has discussed that demigods are actually responsible to accept what is offered to them. Although they may not like it, they may not be pleased by that offering. And they have to give them benediction also, what they want. So this is the position of demigods. They have no choice, actually. When somebody gives some austerity, offers some austerity to him, so the demigods, they have to accept it. It is their responsibility. And they have to give benediction also, what they want. But demigods are not concerned whether benedictions are beneficial to them or they will. This is the difference between approaching Krishna and demigods. When we approach Krishna with some desires which are not beneficial to us, Krishna does not hear that desire, but gives us what is what we need actually. But when we approach demigods, they have no choice. They have to give what the person who is actually praying for to them. They knew, just like here it is said, that Shiva knew that whatever benediction I give him, Shalv, because he is trying to use it against Krishna, it will be fruitless, useless. But he has to give because he wanted it. So we find that all these demonic persons try to get certain type of benediction which make them unbeatable, unconquerable. They want to become the actually the controller. Even they want to kill the Lord. So he has seen actually that Krishna, who is actually the protector of Yadus, who is Krishna? From his very birth, he has shown super excellent powers. He has killed from the very birth so many demons sent by Kamsa, who were very powerful, mystic, killed them effortlessly, and even killed their master, Kamsa. He had the same fate at the hands of Krishna. He had seen all these things, but still he wanted to actually annihilate Yadus and Dwarka and Krishna, everybody. So this is the foolishness of King Shalva. So what he wanted when Lord Shiva appeared, he wanted that, I want an aeroplane which is made, which cannot be destroyed by any demigods, demon, human beings and Rakshasas. I want it, such a plane. Because he had no power himself, so he wanted to have some power through some material objects. And it can be taken anywhere at my desire. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada describes about the qualities of this aeroplane. It was as big as a city. And it can fly at great heights and at great speeds, so that it cannot be located by anybody. It was such a powerful plane. It can actually travel in darkness. So this is what he wanted from Lord Shiva. Matlab, he wanted to become so powerful because of that, because now he planned his strategy that from land his army will encircle Dwarka, and from top I will encircle Dwarka. There is no way they can get out of us. So when he was given this benediction, then he approached Mayadhanav and asked them to make this plane. So Mayadhanav had made this plane, which was made of solid iron, and as I said, it has many, many qualities. Actually, two chapters describe how he is using this aeroplane, and it was a mystic aeroplane. Sometimes you see one plane, sometimes you see many planes there. That way he was trying to annihilate Yadus. So this was his plan. So in this chapter, as we go forward, we will see how he is attacking the Dwarka from land as well as from top. And then Pradyuman came to fight with him. And in the next chapter, when Krishna returns from Rashtriyak, then he fights and kills Shalva. So we see that ultimately, whenever these demons try to do something there, it is actually said that jab lomli ki maut aati hai, toh sher ki tarah bhagta hai. So by making this vow, actually he is inviting his own death, his own destruction. But they are not bothered. Due to their inflated ego, they consider that I can do this, I can do this. I have got power now. So, these are the qualities of demons. And as we go forward, you will see many, many, actually extends into two chapters, this war. And we will see the details of the war. But up till now, we have seen that he has made the vow under large circumstances. He was very much hurt by defeat and kidnapping of Rukmani. And it took him more than 25 years to prepare himself to fight. Because that aeroplane may not be very easy to make. Making aeroplane as big as a city with all these gathers and all these mystic powers may have taken long time. And he may have taken long time to actually collect his army, and when he was fully equipped, he actually attacked. So I think I have covered this chapter. These five shlokas which are relevant for today's discussion. So we will see further how things happen in the next few shlokas and chapters. Thank you very much. If there are any comments or Radha Gopinath Prabhu is betting, I am very much enlivened in his presence and his expert comments I want to guide me. I tried my best to put things together in the proper context. Any comments, Prabhu? Or anybody has any questions? I will. श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।